Morning. I want us to talk about lessons from the book of Jonah. If you'll place your markers there, that's where we will be today. And there's some really good lessons. Gives us an opportunity to talk about some very interesting things. And I see you looking at the slide behind me. I appreciate Beth making that for me. She uses all sorts of programs. I don't know how to work them and everything. So if you see a good slide, either she's helped me or she's just done it for me. And she did this one for me. And that big fish looks like he's got a smile on his face there. Maybe he knows he's going to be eating Jonah here in just a moment. But you remember the story. God commanded Jonah to go and to preach to the Ninevites. Now, the Ninevites were their enemy. And Jonah didn't like this idea of going and preaching to them and that they might be saved. So he fled going the opposite direction. He headed off for Tarshish. And a great storm came, and eventually they figured out, you know, there had to be something wrong. And the men on the boat, as they were traveling across the sea, asked Jonah if he was the cause of this. And finally he confessed to that. And they said, what are we to do? And he said, just throw me overboard. And they did that. And this great fish swallowed Jonah. And can you imagine what it's like to be swallowed by a fish? Can you imagine the smell and the mess and all the digestive juices and the movement of the fish? It had to be worse than being on a roller coaster. And can you imagine the movement of the whale, oh, not necessarily a whale, of the great fish's organs, and what do you hang on to inside there? I don't know. Well, Jonah lived there for 3 days, and he repented, he prayed to God, and God commanded the fish to vomit him up on the shore. And can you imagine what a mess that was, and having to get cleaned up after being vomited up? So God again commanded Jonah to go and preach, and this time he obeyed the Lord, telling them that they would be overthrown in 40 days. Well, the Ninevites believed, and they fasted, they repented in hopes that God would not destroy them, and God indeed relented. God saw their deeds and relented and did not destroy them. Well, Jonah was grieved, and he didn't like this, that God had saved them. And he even asked that God would kill him. He hated it so much that those people repented. But God taught him what it meant to be compassionate by having a plant grow up and give him shade and then the next day to die. What are some things we can learn from Jonah? The first thing I want us to talk about this morning is that we can't hide from God. And this is a lesson we all know so well, and we think about it from time to time, but it's interesting to talk about it now within this context. Look at me with me once again, verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Now go down to verse 15. Verse 15 of chapter 1. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of that fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah couldn't hide from God. And think about some other illustrations of those who could not hide from God. Hey, you know, God is everywhere, and God knows everything. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3, God is the God of knowledge. He knows everything. Psalms 139, 7 through 12, God is everywhere. We can't flee His presence. You know, I was in third grade, and I was riding the bus, and I was to stop one bus stop before my normal one to go home. And I was going to go to Cub Scouts. Well, I got the idea on this day. You know, if I got off just one stop before that, so my mom's not going to know it. You know, and I know this bus route so well, I'm just going to walk over to where I'm supposed to be, and that makes me some great person because I know all this stuff. Well, I tell you what, by the time I got home, my mother knew I had got off at that stop early. She knew which one I'd got off to and how I'd got there, and I had no idea how my mother ever knew that. I said, like she knew everything. I had no idea. Well, of course, she found out because somebody called her. But nobody has to call God and let him know. God knows everything. He is everywhere. Shortly after we moved here, some of my kids went to Busch Gardens. And they were doing things and hanging out and having fun and all this. And I go to pick them up. And I said, oh, did you have a nice time? How did you like this? And how did you like that? And how'd you know we did that? I said, let me tell you something. We were in Tampa, Florida. And I know people. Now, I didn't really go and explain how this all had come about. I wanted them to think like I had some special powers. You know, I wanted to know everything they got going on. Always looking over the shoulder. But, of course, I talked with someone on the phone earlier that day. Said, oh, it's all you girls. They were doing this and that and this and that. So, but God doesn't need anybody to call him. God is everywhere. He knows everything. Hebrews 4:13, no creature is hidden from his sight. All things are open and laid bare to the Lord's eye. Now, there's a positive to this, and there's a negative to this. The positive, if we're obeying God, God is always with us. He's always helping us. He saves us. He protects us. He works all things together for good for those who love the Lord. That's great. But if we're not obeying God, there's a bad part to this. We can't escape the eyes of the Lord. We can't escape judgment and punishment. We must give account for the things that we do, whether good or evil. Think about a recent sin. And you know, I think about this all the time. I want to keep myself alert to this. It's very easy to think, you know, I can go over here and maybe everybody from the house is gone and I'm here all by myself. You know, I can do this and nobody's going to know. Well, you know, we have to remember that there are going to be four people who know: me, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. You know, the fact is we're never alone. There's always at least four. At least four. And so God is always there. And do you think about this? God is there. If we were to go somewhere, we think it's in private, it's hidden away somewhere. Nobody else is going to see. Nobody else is going to hear. Nobody else is going to know. But God is right there. God is watching. God is listening. God sees what is going on. And how does this affect God, do you think? You know, if you're hidden away somewhere and you're doing some sort of sin or something, you think God has some great feeling about that? Paul says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When we do things that are wrong, it hurts God. God's not happy about that. And so see yourself, next time when you're considering this, see yourself in this place and see that God is there, Jesus is there, Holy Spirit is there, and know what you're doing to them by committing that sin. We can't hide from God. There's a good part to that. Let's make sure we have that good part in our life, but there's a bad part to that. Make sure we don't have that bad part in our life. Well, another lesson is there's a consequence for sin during this life on earth. Go with me again to chapter 1 now, verse 11. Verses 11 and 12. So they said to him, what should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us? For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. He said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me this great storm has come upon you. And then verse 17, he's swallowed by this great fish. There's a consequence. And if you can think about how terrible it would be to be swallowed by this great fish. Maybe you've seen National Geographic and you've seen some of these great fishes that swim throughout the oceans and their mouths just stay open all the time and they'll just swim and whatever's in the way, it gets swallowed up and maybe something like that happened. Can you imagine being swallowed by this great fish? There's consequence. Think about some others. Think about the thief on the cross. You know, Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And he was saved, you know. He's going to spend an eternity in heaven with God. But you know what? He still had to die on that cross. There was a consequence for that sin. And think about David and his sin with Bathsheba. And you know, I have no doubt that David is in paradise and going to be in heaven for eternity. But there still was a consequence. What was the consequence? A person died. You know, we have to suffer these consequences although we're saved. And sometimes, listen to me, sometimes other people suffer also. And we can't change that. Nothing that we can change. Nothing that we can do can change that. Now think about this. Today, consequences for sexual sin. There's STDs and there's AIDS. Romans chapter 1 talks about this. The penalty they had within themselves. And that penalty is even to die, to suffer with such great disease and to die. Children lose their childhood. Babies born into homes ill-equipped to raise them as a result of and results in their suffering in life. There's even degradation of our whole society as a result of sexual sin. Think about alcohol and drugs. Broken homes, poverty, drunk drivers, murder, abuse of spouses and children, prisons. You know, we can't do the crime and not expect to pay the consequence. Because there is a consequence. Yes, we can repent. Yes, we can be saved. But that consequence is still there. That consequence was still with Jonah. He was still eaten alive by that fish and had to suffer that consequence. Well, another lesson I think is good for us from Jonah. And that is that, that some people won't repent unless they hit rock bottom. And certainly Jonah hit rock bottom. You know, he didn't want to go and preach the Word of God. And he wanted these people, he hated these people so much that he withheld the Word of God just so God would destroy them. I guess you could say he had hit rock bottom. Look with me again, chapter 1, verse 17. Talks about Jonah being swallowed by the fish, and there he is 3 days and three nights. And then chapter 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. Here he was, rock bottom, in the stomach of this smelly, disgusting, all the noises going on, all of the ups and the downs, and what do you hang on to? He's rock bottom, and finally he prays to God, and he says, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. You know, this is, I call it the school of hard knocks. Hard knocks. You know, my dad used to accuse me sometimes of being a hard head. I guess it maybe still does sometimes. And that's what it is. You're hard headed. You're not getting the message. You're not getting the lesson. And usually when we're hard-headed, or the Bible says hard-hearted, usually there's a terrible consequence that's got to come along. You know, when you're a child, the consequence is you get a punishment. And I remember my dad was good at punishment. Man, he could whip the fire out of us. And you know, that was to soften our hearts. You know, so when we hit rock bottom, we have to soften our hearts. Oftentimes people don't change. People don't look to God until they hit rock bottom. Unfortunately, they're putting their soul at risk. Most people die in sin, Jesus tells us, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Most people go the easy way, the broad way that leads to destruction. But few people wise up and learn the lesson they should learn. Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 12. You know, even as Christians, God uses the school of hard knocks to teach us a lesson. And we need to realize this. This is the way that God operates. Don't think as a child of God, you can go out and engage in sin and there's not going to be some consequence. There is. And if we don't wise up really quick, there's going to be some very difficult consequences. This is the way God operates. Chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly. Don't regard lightly. Don't think that you can go out and do all these things that are wrong and there's not some consequence. Don't regard it lightly. And when you have these consequences, when God is chasing you, don't just think God's playing around. Don't see what's truly happening in your life. Be serious about it because it's going to get worse if you don't wise up. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and he scourges. That's how bad it gets. Scourging. And you've thought about that before. You've studied about that before. To be whipped to a pulp. to be whipped, and there's bone or there's metal or there's something at the end of that whip, and it's just laid on you, and your skin's wide open and cut, and you're bleeding everywhere. That's the analogy he uses. God knows that sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes we don't pay attention. Sometimes we enter into sin, and if we don't learn really quick, he lays it on us. It's like my father would do. He'd whip the fire out of me to soften my heart so I'd learn a lesson. Now, God doesn't whip us like my father whipped me, but he scourges, he chastens us so that we learn the lesson we should learn. You know, life is a lot better when we can learn from God's word rather than having to be chastened before we learn. It's better to obey God without being chastened than to suffer this chastisement and then obey later. Let's just go and obey to start with so that we don't have to go through the chastisements. Well, a couple of applications I want to bring forward here. When someone refuses to believe in God and they want to live in sin, the quicker they suffer the consequences, the better. Now, that's hard to do as a parent, I know. You know, as a parent, if our children are hard-headed, if they're hard-hearted about something, it's better that they suffer that consequence quickly. It's better to punish them as a parent. Don't put it off. Don't wait, oh, to the third time or the fifth time or the tenth time. It just gets all the more worse. And, you know, sometimes when we're working with people, maybe you've experienced in your life also, when we're working with people, maybe people that we love and they grow and they become adults and they just refuse to obey the Lord, and you just see they're getting themselves in so much trouble and life is going to be so hard, Paul says, turn them over to Satan, 1 Corinthians 5:5. That's what we have to do. We have to let those people learn. And unfortunately for some, there have been parents that have to let their adult children live in poverty and be even homeless, so that maybe they will learn those lessons they need to learn and come back to the Lord before it's eternally too late. It's better to let them suffer those consequences. The sooner, the better. And I know we want to try to keep our children from suffering those. And our friends, neighbor, other people, let them suffer the consequences. There may be hope. Sometimes we have to turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, Paul says, so that they can be saved. Our job is to be there if they decide they want to change. We can't hide from God. There is indeed consequence from sin, and some folks have to hit rock bottom first. But also, if we repent and obey God, he saves us. Look at chapter 2 of Jonah, verses 7 through 10. Chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. And of course, we know this already. This is nothing new to us. But I want you to see it here. Here in verse 7, chapter 2. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. You see, that's when he remembered the Lord. He wasn't really thinking of the Lord that much when he was commanded to go off and preach. And he forgot a lot about the Lord, you know, thinking he could escape. Forgetting scriptures. He thought he could escape. But now he remembers the Lord. He's hit rock bottom. And my prayer came to you and to your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and he vomited Jonah up on the dry land. And imagine once again being vomited up on dry land. First of all, the large fish had to get close enough to shore. And if you've ever seen a large fish like that try to make it up to shore close enough, I mean, they're flailing and it's just all sorts of a mess as they're trying to get close there. It's violent. And so the fish got up that close, and he expelled Jonah on the dry land. There had to be convulsing. There had to be vomiting. It had to be a smelly mess. Filth, slime, his hair, his skin, his clothes were all a mess, if you can imagine that. But think of the feelings that Jonah had to have. He's now out of the fish. He's safe on the shore. He's no longer in darkness inside of this great fish. He sees light. What would you do? I would pray to God. I would fall on my face. I would be dedicated to obey. He had hit rock bottom. He had turned back to the Lord. Remember a few scriptures Jesus says, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish, Luke 3:3-5. That Paul says that God commands all men everywhere to repent, that he no longer winks at the ignorance of man, Acts 17:30. And that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. Well, indeed, when we repent and obey God, he saves us. But we still have to suffer those consequences. Remember the thief on the cross. Yes, he was saved. Yes, he went to paradise. But yes, he had to suffer that painful death, the death of crucifixion. And again, the best life we can have here on in this life is we just go on and do what God says and avoid all that chastisement. Just obey God. Life is so much better. People have to hear. Now, Jonah is commanded once again to go to those in Nineveh. And in Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we see that this time Jonah obeys and he goes to this large city, and it takes him 3 days, and he is proclaiming the word of God. Verse 5, then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. God's messenger had to go and proclaim the message. The Bible tells us later 120,000 people didn't know the right from their left. They didn't know the truth. And someone needed to go there and to preach God's word to them. Well, some application for us. Our job is to get the message out, like Jonah. God doesn't hold us responsible as to whether or not people obey, but he does hold us responsible as to whether or not we're getting the message out to other people. Without that message being taken to them, they don't know what to do. Remember Ezekiel? The blood of all those men would have been on his head if he didn't get out the message. Remember Paul? He was innocent of the blood of all men because he got out the message, the whole counsel of God. Now let me ask you a really hard question here. Are you innocent of the blood of all men? Innocent of the blood of all men. Heart-stopping question. Friends, families, neighbors, co-workers, schoolmates. Are you innocent? Are you innocent? Or are you like Jonah, trying to avoid, for whatever reason, sharing the truth with them? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever harshly criticized someone for sin but not share the gospel with them? Maybe a co-worker comes in smelling like alcohol and hungover, and you criticize him behind his back, but you don't have the guts just to tell him what the Lord says about it. How about a schoolmate that cheats on a test, criticize him behind the back for being such a bad person, but do you tell him what the Lord says? How about a neighbor who talks to you and gossiping about other people? You listen, and you just let it go on. You don't share your faith. You don't tell them what the gospel says about it. You just listen and go with it. When we do things like this, aren't we like Jonah? Aren't we like Jonah? We just walk blindly through this world with sin all about, and we may get all mad, we may get upset, but we don't dare tell anybody what God says about it. Aren't we just like Jonah? Our job as a church and individual is get the gospel message out to the lost. We're doing that, certainly, but are we doing it to the extent that we should? What can we do differently as a church? And what can we do differently as individuals? Well, we've got to put the souls of other individuals before ourselves to do this. In Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, but it greatly displeased Jonah. This is after God relented. Greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity." And then verse 3, "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life." Well, what an attitude this guy had. to hate a group of people so much you wanted to die. To hate a group of people so much that you would disobey God and you would try to run away. Now he wants the Lord to kill him. Well, we want to go in today into what the Lord did to teach him about compassion and long-suffering and loving-kindness. But the point we must make is that we have to be like God. We have to have these attributes within ourselves. We have to care about the souls of other people as we look out at one who is lost. And we know what eternity holds for that one. We have to put their soul before our own personal interests. Let me ask you, are you doing that? Are you doing that? Well, let me end and offer the invitation from Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10. God saw their deeds. He saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked ways. Then God relented concerning the calamity which he had determined he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. God looks at our deeds. He looks at our deeds. These things reflect our hearts. Jesus taught on these very things himself, that you know people by their fruits. And there's a lot of good lessons about this. Well, when someone tells us something, and I give this counsel to young people, they're thinking about marriage, their boyfriend, girlfriend, relationships and all this. When a young man tells a young woman, I love you, don't listen to the words, look at the deeds. Because that young man may be telling a lie. The Lord looks at our deeds, and we can offer up all sorts of prayers, all sorts of flowery words, but the Lord is looking at our deeds. For us today, we need to look at our deeds. What are they telling other people? And what are they telling God? What do your deeds reflect? What do they show is in your heart? The love of God, the love of the world, the love of Satan. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can change your deeds. How do you do that? You repent just like Jonah. You change your mind that you're going to do something different. And then you do it. You do it because you believe in God. You believe in Jesus Christ. Because of that, you're willing to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You will have a brand new life. A different life. A new creation. Born again. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe your deeds have not been what they ought to be. The Lord will cleanse you once again. You can have a new life once again by repenting of those things, confessing them to the Lord, praying for forgiveness, and changing the way that you live. The gospel invitation is available to all who need it this morning. Do you need it? Do you need to come to the Lord? Do you need to change? Won't you do it now? Come to the front as we stand and sing.